Father, we thank you so much tonight as we gather around the word, which is alive and powerful, truthful, never fail. We're thankful that the Godhead, the Father, the Son, you, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is with the church and with spiritual leaders that they may walk by faith and not by sight. We pray, Lord, you warn us about health and wealth. You had us to teach about it prophetically. I thank you that the people of God understand their immune system and how to feed it properly, and their cells and how to feed them properly. I taught that. I taught with, it seemed like some didn't want to accept it, but Lord, it's needed, and you were preparing us ahead of time. Just like tonight, you're going to show us some things that we need to know step by step. And we are so thankful and so grateful that men and women are getting born again left and right, that the church has gone to work. We thank you. We know it's not only at Word of Life, but around the world. We thank you that the revelation, the apostolic revelation you give us about witnessing will be spread throughout the world. We thank you that you open your book to us tonight and smile on us and show us encouragement and confidence. We bless, we pray for those who are attacked in their bodies, that the healing power will flow through them tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray hospitals and nursing home and people in their own home, we pray for them tonight, Lord. And thank you for every one of them, and thank you that they'll come out properly. We pray for their finances. It's not only a health crisis, but it's an economic crisis, and we knew it was coming. And so we speak over the finances of people, that they don't panic, that their needs will be met. You're the great source, you're the great supplier, and we thank you for it. Now, Lord, as your word speaks to us tonight, give us insight, give us wisdom, give us understanding how to flow at these times. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, and wherever you are, two passages of scripture we want to open up with. We want you to make a notation of this, how knowing how to live in the supernatural promises of God. Knowing how to live in the supernatural promise of God. I don't have my clock on. Knowing how to live in the supernatural promises of God. Let's go in straight to the scriptures before I give you an introduction. Go back to 2 Peter chapter 1 and Romans chapter 4. 2 Peter chapter 1 and Romans chapter 4. Living in the supernatural promises of God. How to live in the supernatural promises of God. Those promises are supernatural. I told you they are truth. They are God's word. They cannot fail. According to Isaiah 55:11. And so here in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Now underline like precious faith. With us through the righteousness of God. Now I may tell you, underline a good many things tonight, because you need to underline the righteousness of God, because the righteousness of God has to be a revelation for you to function properly in the promises of God. You have to understand the righteousness of God. If you understand your divine rights, say it that way, your divine rights. You have divine rights because you're a child of God. And so in that righteousness, it enables you to move in the realm of the supernatural when things look like they're not working, if you know how to function in righteousness. So through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, and grace and peace is important. Be multiplied. Because when I get over to Romans, I'm going to show you four or five things that you have to have in place in order to operate and function properly, especially in times like these, the supernatural promises of God. I was excited when the Holy Spirit told me supernatural promises, because everything that God do is supernatural. Then he said in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now notice verse 3, because verse 4 really going to be a context of the supernaturalness of the promise of God. But notice verse 3 now. According as his divine power, underline divine power, has given unto us all things that, now notice that word, given unto all things that what? Pertain. See that? Pertain unto life and godliness. Notice life and godliness. All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue. That's those some powerful verses. Then verse 4 now. Verse 4 is a key text about the promises of God, whereby are given unto us, now notice the words he used, exceeding great and precious promises. Exceeding great and precious promises. Now I submit to you, these are supernatural, spiritual promises given by God. You know, a man can make a promise, but we're talking about divine promises. That's a good word. Supernatural, spiritual promises. Kingdom promises, all right? Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. They're given to us, right? That, now notice why they're given. That by these exceeding great and precious promises, you might be, notice that word, partakers of the divine nature. Now you can be a partaker of the divine nature and not partaking of it. See, because you're not functioning in these promises, you can be a child of God, and a lot of that go on. You can be a child of God, but you're not partaking of your benefits because you don't have the revelation. If you don't have the revelation, you don't have the anointing. Don't have the anointing, you can't move in the realm of the spirit. See? So in my study these months about the promises of God, I found out how important it is for us to know how these promises work, how to tap into these promises, what is related to these promises. Now, I'll be sharing it with you in a minute. I want to read this verse one more time. Well, by giving it to us, verse 4, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So you're partakers and escape through these promises. You're a partaker of one thing and you escape the other thing. It gives us a thing that pertains to life and godliness. All it is talking about the promises of God, how powerful they are. Now, I told you, a promise is the declaration of some benefit to be conferred upon. And then I gave you this definition, especially a divine assurance of God. Especially a divine assurance of God. A promise is a divine assurance of God. And then I said to you earlier, a promise is to announce that one is about to do a funny something. A promise is to announce that one is about to do a funny something. So within the context of the promise is the ability for it to manifest. And whatever need to manifest is in the promise, is built in the promise. So our job is to know how. And that's what the Lord wants to teach us, how to make withdrawal. See, the promise real. Promise has the content in it, what God said, God in it himself. But we have to know. Turn to Romans 4. Turn to Romans 4. Let me give you something on Peter while we go in Romans 4. The Lord gave me this afternoon, and I think we should hear it. He gave it to me, and it's real strong. In 2 Peter, before we go to Romans 4, you can go to Romans 4, but in 2 Peter 1 through 4, apostolic instruction about the promises of God. That's what being given to us. And how powerful they are when properly used. So in 2 Peter, you hear what he's saying? Apostolic instruction about the promises of God and how powerful they are when properly applied. Secondly, showing you how to use your faith to live in the promises of God unfailing. That's 2 Peter 1:8, you might look at that. Unfailing. And then the third thing I want you to know about Peter here, telling us about the exceeding great and precious promise, If your faith do not recognize how to activate these promises, your divine nature cannot be activated. And you look at that in, and I'm doing it in gesture too, because you need to look at that in 2 Peter 1:9. I think I need to go back. Go back to Peter and expand this, because this is an apostolic teaching. And the reason it's an apostolic teaching, Paul identified himself as an apostle in teaching this. In 2 Peter, he said, remember the first one, Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, he identified himself as an apostle, so he's doing apostolic teaching. And in that second thing I said, he was showing you how your faith is to live in the promises of God unfailing. See, the promise don't fail. It's your faith. That's why he called it like precious faith. Your faith will fail, but he said, show you how. So you should look at 2 Peter 1:8. You see what verse 8 said? For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But then on the other hand, the apostle said to us, and if your faith do not recognize how to activate these promises, your divine nature cannot be activated. Isn't that something? I have a divine nature, but I can't activate it if I don't know how to function in the promises of God. And you see, when that happened, the night voice reveals how so much failure can be in the body of Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Now, that's a Christian they're talking about. And we have a lot of people in that night voice that should be in the eight voice. All right, let's go to Romans 4, and I'll begin to give you the points that we're going to deal with tonight in this class. Romans 4 has a magnificent revelation for us. And I want to give you five words to construct your faith to operate properly in the supernatural promises of God. Air, H-E-I-R, you are an heir of the promises of God. The second word I want to give you is righteousness. You're going to have to understand righteousness, your divine rights as a child of God. The third word is faith. And the fourth word is grace. And the fifth word is promise. Now, we're going to see things that can make all of this void. We're going to read in a few moments that it make your faith void and the promise of God of none effect. Isn't that something? If you don't understand how to function here, it'll make your faith void and the promises of God of none effect. So this is what we want to clear it up. Look at the 13th verse, and I'll go over and over this. Romans 4:13. This is a primary lesson of 2 Peter 1. In the 13th verse, it says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world, that was a promise, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through what? The righteousness of faith. Faith has a righteousness. Faith knows it's right. Faith cannot be talked out of nothing or stopped, because faith knows that he's a rewarder of them that didn't seek him. Faith knows that it is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith know that. See, it's the righteousness of faith. I love it. It's the righteousness of faith. For they which of the law be as, now there's your word as, verse 14, for they which of the law be as, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Now I want you to see it. Faith void, promise of none effect. If you don't handle it properly, even though you're but by not knowing the ability of the promises or how to tap into the promises, your faith will be made void and the promises of none effect. You see that? You need to mark that. And the promises made of none effect. Now, you're talking about the law and faith, but this faith, the promises come by the righteousness of faith. But when you don't know how to operate in the promises, your faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. So we want the promises to be effective in our life. And so this is why we need to hear this teaching. Because the law worketh wrath. Are you out there? You're listening. Are you listening? Because the law worketh wrath, or where no law is, there's no transgression. Now look at verse 16. It go to pounding on the promises in divine ways. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all seed. Now, back to verse 14, the promise made of none effect. Back to verse 16, to the end the promise might be sure to all seed. See, I mean, you got to find out where you want to be at. See. Not to that only which is the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And then he give us this primary lesson on a promise will hold you when everything else saying you're not going to make it. When you know how to properly, I feel anointed. When you know how to properly tap into the promises of God, the promises become your leg when you think you can't walk. They become your voice when you think you can't talk. It's so powerful. And so this lesson here is such a clear lesson with Abraham or Abram that you cannot teach on the promises of God without that. Look at the 17th verse. As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even called the quick and the dead, and called those things which be not, as though they were. That's what promises do. Who against hope, believe in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. Now, in verse 18, according to that which was spoken, a promise was spoken. And there are 1,000 of them. And the promises cannot return void on God's side. So if we know that, and we tie into that promise, it got to come to pass. Don't care what it look like. Don't care what you feel like. Don't care what nobody else saying. It doesn't make no difference. So he according to what was spoken, you need to, talking about promise, so shall thy seed be. See? So according to, when a promise is spoken, so shall it be, if you operate with it properly. So he shows us how to operate with it properly. In verse 19, I haven't got to my first point yet. In verse 19, and being not weak in faith. See, weak faith cannot activate the promises of God. You cannot be considering the situation, how bad it looks, when you're functioning in the promises of God. The promises of God has to be your platform, has to be your foundation. Are you following me? Are y'all listening? See the promises of God. Even now, with all that's going on, you got a promise. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. See? So we got to stand on those promises, keeping ourselves out of fear. Stand in faith. And listening to the wisdom of God in every step we take. Very, very simple. So in being not weak, verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And don't let other people affect you. He ain't let his body or Sarah's body, neither one of them pray. He staggered not. Now here, verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God. See, you can stagger. True unbelievable, strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, that word promise again, he was also able to perform. You see that? All right, let's go to work. Living, knowing how to live in the supernatural promises of God. There are prophetic promises, moments. You need to be open to. Look at it in Hebrews 13:5. I'm not going there. The only person of power who can stop the manifestation and demonstration of the supernatural promises of God in your life is you. I'm going to repeat that. The only person or power who can stop the manifestation and demonstration of the supernatural promises of God in your life is you. And I know quite well that you do not want to stop them. That's what I wrote down. So listen with the intention to do. Here's to operate in the promises of God supernaturally. Here's some things you have to do. Training your faith to expect and receive divine transaction through the supernatural promises of God. Training your faith to expect and receive divine transaction through the supernatural promises of God. Now I got Romans 4:13, you got 19 and 20. We just read them. All the promises of God live in the realm of the supernatural. Turn to Hebrews 2. All the promises of God lives in the realm of the supernatural. All the promises of God live in the realm of the supernatural. That Hebrews 2:4 is what the promises want to make happen in your life. And they can bring it forth, brother and sister. They can bring it forth. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gift of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Now, all of these in that verse, all of these things you see in that verse are implanted in the promises of God. See, because the promises of God is God himself. So God, through his promises, bear witness through you that you trusted him. And he do it with signs, wonders, divers, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Wow. All those things are built in the promises of God. Miracles are in the promises of God. Signs are in the promises of God. Wonders are in the promises of God. Gifts of the Holy Ghost is in the promises of God. So powerful. So powerful. My goodness. So all the promises. Hebrews 2:4 amplifies what the Spirit of God is saying. All the promises of God live in the realm of the supernatural. And it gives you a taste of what it is. God backing you up. Bound and witness. God backing you up with signs, wonders. Yeah, I'm trusting God. Divine, divers, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now, that's a mouthful in the spirit world. That verse, that one verse there is a mouthful, and it has so much in it that it can carry a whole nation. Because that's what we need right now. We need God witness. We need signs and wonders and divers and miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost over all our spiritual leaders, all our political leaders, and all of our medical leaders. They need to yield and let God do his work. All right. Let's revisit the supernatural promises of God, of the kingdom of God, given by the master teacher on promises. You remember in Matthew 5, I emphasize the point where there are going to be some who are going to climb to a higher level and multitudes going to stay at a low level. It's always a remnant in the realm. And it taught that Jesus, the master teacher, was teaching about the master promises. Turn to Matthew 5. The master promises of the kingdom of God. And the multitude didn't climb the mountain. If you want it, you got to go for it. And the disciples climbed. So they were student and they heard it personally from the master's mouth, how they could activate the promise. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. For they shall see God is the promise. See? And you got about eight of them there, six, seven, eight of them, right down the line. The master teaching kingdom promises and how to activate them. So that gives us another clarity here. Promises does not normally happen automatically. Somebody got to activate them. That's why we talk about knowing that your heir, that knowing your heirship mean I know I have a right to supernatural thing. All right? The Bible talks about us being heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. A heir mean I have an inheritance. Then Galatians 4, I want you to read this tonight. Galatians 4, 1 through 6. The heirship is your sonship privileges. And your heirship and your sonship privileges is built in promises, but it's going to take your faith, which he gave to you, like praise, to activate it. See, don't just don't jump out because you say, I'm a Christian. No, you have to activate it. Are you following me? You have to activate it. It's not going to just come to you. That's why you got one person on one level, another person on another level, another level. Because somebody not climbing, it's not interesting enough for them. So their faith is not strong enough to make it happen. But it's there. I say, class, it's there. Yeah. So the supernatural. Oh my! I bet you everybody gonna listen now. Turn to Genesis chapter 12. See, we're not only dealing with a health issue here; we're dealing with a wealth issue. We're dealing with money, because jobs shut down, trucks not rolling. When the prophetic speak to you, you ought to jump on the wagon so you can stay on there, and you'll be ready when these times come. You'll be ready. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, you'll be ready. Not all worried. Ready. I'm about to share something with you, and I hope you take a hold of this divine promise. The supernatural financial promises given to Abraham belong to you. The supernatural financial promises given to Abraham belong to you or belong to me. Then Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 5. I took God up on it. I read that. I said, okay. I read it. I said, all right, I'll get in on that. I'll follow that. Now, there are some things in this the Holy Ghost is showing me right now to activate or live in the supernatural promises of God that are going to take some separation. But most people don't want to do. I remember Jesus said about your mama and your sister. I said, man, I was a young Baptist preacher. I said, what kind of Jesus is this here? But he was saying that if anybody try to come between us, you got to get out the way. So here in Genesis 12, and we're talking about finances now, that there are supernatural financial promises. This is one of the greatest origin of it, this lesson. Because it says, until all the family of the earth be blessed in this text. Verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. See. The Lord had to show it to you. But then you're going to have to separate from those who keep me blind. Then the Lord said, powerful, this promise, in the second verse. And I will what? And I will what? Make of thee. And I'll make of thee a great nation when you separate. And I will bless thee. But I can't bless you and can't make nothing. Go back to the first verse. I will show thee. I will make of thee. I will bless thee. I'm in the second verse. Third verse, and I will bless them. Whoa. Even those who connect with you. Now, I'll just make a statement. Nobody on the face of the earth wear this anointing more than I do. Not a minister, nobody, no group. When money coming came, it brought this Abraham connotation in my ministry. And so, he told Abraham, those who connect with you. Right. See, look at right there. I'll make thee a great nation. I'll bless thee. Make thy name great. Verse 2. Thou shalt be a blessing. And thou shalt be a blessing. Then in verse 3, we talk about the promises of God. We're talking about financial promises here now. Third verse says, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Isn't that something? And then we go further, because I got a prophetic word for you. We'll go further. So you got that? The supernatural financial promises given to Abraham belong to you. You got that? All right. The supernatural promises of health. Health belong to you. So your soul in the promises of God. 3 John 2, beloved, worship of all things, your prosper being held even as your soul prospered. Psalm 139:14 talks about how marvelous and wonderful you're made and your soul knows right well. So health is a supernatural promise. Now, let me give you this master key in living in the supernatural promise of God. It's so important that we know this key. In Acts chapter 17, verse 28. Acts 17, verse 28. And then I'm going to walk you through some prophetical words. Now, within the context of that verse, and I'm going to read in a minute, in the third chapter of Exodus, Moses, I think the third chapter, had a burning bush experience. But he didn't only have that burning bush experience, he had a voice spoke to him that verifies and magnifies all the promises of God. I am that I am. Now that connotation, when someone can speak like that, they are saying, whatever I say, I am. Whatever I say, I am going to make it happen. Nobody can stop me. I am that I am. So you should, to function in the promises of God, the supernatural promises of God, you have to live in your I am identity. You have to live in your I am identity. And so in living, for in him, we live, number one. Number two, we move, number three, and have our being. See, that's that I am identity in him, though. We got to live in him. Are you with me, class? We live in him, but you have to function in your I am identity now, present moment, functioning in your being, your enlightenment that comes from God, and those promises that come alive to you. In him I live and move and have my being. I love it. So the promises of God, the promises class, the promises of God, listen to this now, the promises of God is a divine map that always leads you into green pasture. 23rd Psalm. The promise of God always leads you in green pastures besides still water. It's powerful, man. It's powerful. So prophetically, for this night lesson, the Lord spoke to me. He started speaking to me about giving me divine sentences to implant in his people. All negative stop signs that have been placed in your life to stop you from advancing will be pulled down through the revelation of God's promises that pays no attention to how things look now. I'm going to go back over it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want y'all to hear, y'all listen to what the Holy Ghost is saying. All negative stop signs glory to God, that have been placed in your life to stop you from advancing will be pulled down through the revelation of God's promises that pays no attention to how things look now. Pays no attention. I pray that someone, they got a connection of 665 now, I pray that someone would have heard this word prophetically from the Lord. I don't care how it look, and nothing can stop you as you bear witness of these teachings. Then the Lord spoke to me about this, prevailing grace, prevailing power, and prevailing love, and prevailing miracles, signs, and wonders, and prevailing faith. All are in the ingredients of God's promises. Sound like prevail to me. Huh? It sound to me, as I hear in the spirit, that the promises of God has the ability to make you live a prevailing life. It don't matter what it look like. No matter what nobody else saying, the promises of God have prevailing faith, prevailing grace, prevailing love on the inside of them. That's why they're exceeding great and precious promises. Let me give it again. Prevailing grace, prevailing powers, and prevailing love, and prevailing miracles. Ooh, goodness. Prevailing signs, prevailing wonders, and prevailing faith. All are in the ingredient of God's supernatural promises. Prevail. The promises of God caused Abraham to prevail over the fact that he was too old to have a child, his wife was too old to have a child, and he couldn't discuss it with none of his relatives. But they was laughing at him anyway. You still here?
Yes, sir.
The supernatural promises of God, I'm still prophetically. I'm bringing it down, but I'm still, now I could went on and say, thus saith the Lord, but I want to break it down so you can get it.
Sure.
The supernatural promises of God, I remember, I had just started out moving in the spirit as a Baptist boy preacher, got filled with the Holy Ghost. I went to a meeting. What that boy name taught that prayer? Larry Lee. I was way back off there somewhere. I don't know where I was. I'm sitting up in there. And Larry Lee spoke in tongues. And I seemed like I had the interpretation. I said, oh, Jesus, I ain't never. So I stood up and just said what the Lord told me to say. Well, I sat back down. Another man got up. He was so eloquent. He knew he knew how that stuff go. He said a long thing, and he rhymed and hit it just right. I said, oh, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm embarrassed. I didn't do nothing. When the man sat down, Larry Lee said, that man over there said exactly what I said. The other man was so eloquent, man, I want to believe him too, you know. But I knew the Lord had spoke something to me. So what I'm saying is, you just got to follow the Lord. No matter what's going on, the Lord's going to take care of you. Now, let me get this back to you again, because it brought something up to me. Wait a minute now. My goodness. The supernatural prevailing. The supernatural promise of God are designed to enable you to fly above all doubt, unbelief, fear, or worry. You got it? Whew. And then he said to tell you, meditate the promises of God on a daily basis. They will set you in the mindset of Christ. Give you understanding of the will of God. Release the manifold wisdom of God. And saturate you with victory in his purpose for your life. I'm going to give you that over again. Meditate the promises of God on a daily basis. They will set you in the mindset of Christ. They will give you understanding of the will of God. They will release the manifold wisdom of God and saturate you with victory in his purpose for your life. Saturated with victory. Just think about it. Knowing the manifold wisdom of God. Just think about it. And it's all built in the supernatural promises of God. God said, I got this covered. This whole situation, I got it covered. But you have to know how to walk in my promises. You have to know how to trust me. And I'll cause you to prevail no matter what's going on. And then he says, know this. For every change that come in your life from this night forward, the supernatural promises of God stand ready to put you in a more than conqueror position. No matter what come, no matter what come, no matter when it come, no matter how it come, he's saying the supernatural God, or the supernatural promises of God are ready to put you in another position. Now let me go over a few things and I'm going to close. Hebrews, go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. I want to go back because I saw these dynamic points here. And, you know, in teaching, you need to go over things over and over again. I go over so many things. I'd be rolling, but and thank everybody that caught the thing. But promises, you got to hold on to them. They don't work automatically. So you have to, listen to what I'm about to say, you have to meditate the promises of God. Memorize them. Uh-huh. You see what I'm saying? In the old school, say milk them. Milk the revelation out of them. And they'll become meat for you in the spirit realm. And they'll hold you. They'll guide you. It's so powerful. And so in this 13th verse here, I saw some principles that was important. It says, and these all died in faith. You see that? Huh? Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them. See, persuasion. Embraced them. See, embraced. Confessed them that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. And I saw that's what we need to do with the promises. Receive the promises by faith. Seeing the promises with the eyes of faith, being persuaded of the promises, embracing the promises of God. I'll talk to you about that. Confessing the promises against all odds. Living your life on earth knowing you belong to another realm. Living your life on earth knowing that you belong to another realm. What I say? So it does not matter what's going on around you. Your realm depicts the rhythm that you're going to live in. Revelation comes to the people of God when darkness is trying to prevail. Revelation of light cometh to the people of God so they can see how to walk in the light in the time of darkness. I speak to you tonight to let you know it is well. Not only with your soul, it's well with your life. God is protecting you. Glory to God. Know this also, take this note, that all the promises of God are anointed. All the promises of God are anointed. That's 1 John 2. I got 24:2-27. I'm not going to read it. Another thing is to avoid false teaching. Great emphasis must be laid upon the word of God and the certainty of the fulfillment of the divine promises. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Look at that. I want you to look at that. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Just a minute. Leroy, you can get ready. I'm just about through. I love this voice. Over the years, for all the promises Now, what we know about the promise tonight is of God in him is yea, and in him is all, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now, I got a question. How can that voice have the audacity to say that? Look at that voice. With no respect or situation, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. How could he say that? Well, there's nothing can stop the promises. Because the promises are synonymous with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, with the Word of God. You see, nothing can stop it. So all the promises of God are yea and amen. I know I need to, class, finally take you to those ingredients you need to add to your faith that the promises can be effective. That's in 2 Peter. If you read down, you'll find there's some ingredient you need to add to your faith before your faith can become persuaded faith. It will not be persuaded faith. It's named 5 or 6 things you need to add. Add to your faith that you may have precious faith to stand on precious promises to see what will happen to your life. And then 2 Peter 5-8 talks about persuaded faith. We'll take up on our next session. I'll be through.
Well, thank you for being here tonight. Let me pray with you before we go. Father, we thank you that your presence, your protection, that the blood of Jesus is covering every home, every person's life. Thank you for your protection during these times, God. Thank you for giving us your wisdom. Thank you for giving us your strength. We give you all the glory. God, we know that we'll be coming out better on the other side of this. Thank you for our spiritual leaders in this country and in the world. May you continue to give them wisdom. Father, thank you for our president. May you continue to strengthen him, the vice president. Strengthen the team that is around him. And Father, we lift up all of our medical professionals that are helping to deal with this crisis that this country is in. May your hand be on them. May your hand be on the scientists that are looking for this vaccine. May it be the fastest vaccine ever made in the history of the United States, in the history of this world. We thank you for your wisdom. God, you know the wisdom, and we thank you for revealing it to those medical professionals now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a good evening.